And may the grace of God be with you all, by faith in Christ. I'd like to begin today by saying I'm in mourning. I've suffered a terrible loss this week. And some of my friends have too, and that's because the Detroit Tigers just didn't win the World Series. But there is a bright spot in my life, and that is I get to preach today on Reformation Day. I've been thinking about this, what kind of sermon I would preach on Reformation for some years now, and today's the day. So I'm very happy to be standing here to speak God's word to you today. And of course, you Lutherans know that on Reformation Day, we think of Martin Luther posting his 95 theses on the door of his church. And then some of us also picture him, you know, in that great moment 4 years later where he's standing before the emperor of Europe at the city of Worms. And he's standing there and they point to his books and they say, "Are these your books?" And he says, "Yes, they are." And he says, "Do you take back these books and all the errors they contain?" And in a sense, he says, "Well, what errors? Nobody's really pointed that out to me." But then finally he says, "No, here I stand. I can do no other." And I've been thinking about this sermon over the years, trying to answer that question, just what is a Lutheran? And when we try to answer that question, I think the first and foremost answer is very simple. A Lutheran is a Christian. Someone who trusts in Jesus Christ for the full and complete forgiveness of sins. But then we have to clarify what we say, because there are certainly different kinds of Lutherans today. And I don't mean that there's Missouri Synod Lutherans and Wisconsin Synod Lutherans and ELCA Lutherans. There are a diversity of Lutherans beyond these titles. And that's because there's no copyright on the name Lutheran. I mean, anyone can put up a sign and say, "This is a Lutheran church," no matter what it teaches. And people can say, "I'm a Lutheran," depending on what they believe. There may be various things. Some Lutherans are Lutheran because they're drawn to a certain culture. Maybe they like the German Northern European culture. Maybe they like the hymns of the Lutheran Church, the musical style. They might like composers such as J.S. Bach and others. They may like the history of the church, you know, the last 500 years, the idea of Luther and other reformers standing up against authority. Maybe they like the architecture of the church, the way it's laid out, or like big brick churches with stone battlements on the top, looking like fortresses. Some may become Lutherans for this reason. Others might be Lutherans because it's where they started. That is, they grew up in a Lutheran church, and that's just the way they are. Maybe they never even come back to a church, but if you ask them what they are, what their religion is, they'd say, "I'm a Lutheran." It's their birthplace, but since then they've moved on. Kind of like I go back home to where I grew up in Michigan a couple of times a year, and when I'm there, I kind of walk around town, and in my mind, I pretend like I still live there, you know, go to those famous or familiar places that I remember, but everybody knows I'm from Illinois. But there are other Lutherans. Lutherans who believe in objective truth. That is, they believe in principles that never change. Now, to many 20th century people, 21st century people, this idea of objective truth is viewed with a kind of suspicion. To suggest that there is one and only one truth and an absolute truth about God is regarded by many as absurd, foolish, ridiculous, or the sign of an intolerant and weak mind. And sadly enough, there's many Christians today who view claims of truth and certainty with suspicion as well. They say, "Well, I hear what you say about God. That may be true for you, but I believe something different." But I think the first thing that we could answer what is a Lutheran would be to know that a Lutheran identifies that truth and its opposite, falsehood, are real. They're not just concepts, but there is something that is called the truth, and we can use that truth to identify things that are false. It is possible to know the truth and reject all errors that contradict the truth. And a Lutheran believes that God has revealed absolute truth in His Word. That is, we can study it, we can learn it, we can summarize it, and we can refute a false notion about that word. How do we know that? Well, we look to that word itself. St. Paul said to Timothy in his second letter, "All Scripture is God-breathed and suitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be well equipped." The Bible is the rock-solid foundation for the Christian to build his faith on, and I think that would be the second way we could define what a Lutheran is. Lutherans embrace the Bible as the only dependable source of knowledge about God. Why is that? Well, we might have feelings about God or what He said, but we've all known times where our feelings failed us. We felt something was going to happen a certain way, and it turned out different. Traditions and history sometimes are proved false. Just because God allowed things to happen a certain way in history doesn't mean that that is exactly the truth according to the Scriptures. And sometimes we might try to rely on our own reason to think, well, if A plus B equals C, then God must be this way. But we recognize our human reason is flawed at times. While some say, "I feel this is right," or "tradition tells me God wants us to do this," the Lutheran asks, "Yes, but what does the Word of God say?" But it's true that not all Lutherans are agreed and still regard God's Word in Scripture as absolute. Some of you older folks, my age and older, will remember 30 years ago, our synod was locked in a battle for the Bible, some called it. Some pastors and professors among us were teaching that God's Word, the Bible, contains what God says, but there's also a lot of other things in there, human additions and errors, the ideas of men mixed in. And so the job of every pastor, every professor, and every layperson was to sort out that, to weigh the Word of God and see what God said and what did people say. This put the human mind above the Scriptures and made us the judge of what God said. And it led to confusion and to a lot of spiritual shenanigans. Some went on to deny that the miracles of Christ happened or other miracles in the Bible. But I think the Lutherans could see what was at question there was really the point whether Jesus was God. In those days, God blessed our Missouri Synod with the ability to say, "We do not believe the Bible merely contains the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God in its entirety, every word and every sentence." And we continue in that conviction today. I think the third way we can identify a Lutheran today is that a Lutheran is confessional. Now, the word confessional has gotten a bad rap in the last few years, especially from inexperienced pastors who call themselves confessional and come to a congregation and they get impatient and they demand certain worship changes, sometimes even before their books are unpacked in their study. You know, they're changing everything. And that's not right. But being confessional is really a good thing, for to confess is to simply say back to God what He's first said to us in His Word. Over the years, we Lutherans have written down our confessions, the things that God has taught us. We put them in written form. And they're really just statements of what we believe God has clearly said in the Bible. The Apostles' Creed that we read is a confession of the faith from the early church, not from the Lutheran period. But it's an example of something that we believe that the Bible says, namely about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who they are, and their work among us. Now, the Lutheran confessions are contained in the Book of Concord. You all know the small catechism from your teaching in the church when you became a confirmed or a communing member here, whether it was when you were a child or an adult, whenever that happened. That's a part of the Lutheran Confessions, a part of the Book of Concord. But what gets really confusing today is that not all churches that go by the name Lutheran still regard the Lutheran Confessions as highly as they once did. Some say that the confessions are historically conditioned. I think what that means is that they're not necessarily still correct in what they teach about God's Word. Now, I scratch my head at a statement like that. It's really confusing to me, because if we believe the confessions are based on what the Bible says, which never changes, and if we believe that the confessions were true at one time, why are they still not true today? Did the Bible change? Did the confessions change? Or did we change? It's a good thing that God doesn't change his mind about us, isn't it? You know, I can imagine God saying, well, I know I said way back there that if you trusted in Jesus, you'd be forgiven. But now I've changed my mind, and that's not necessarily true anymore. Too many people are taking advantage of me, so from now on you're going to have to earn your salvation. No, God would never do that to us. God's word remains true, despite the changes around us. So historic genuine Lutheranism holds that the Bible is actually the word of the living God. We believe that God's word, the Bible, is both incapable of error and free from error. And we hold strongly to Lutheran confessions because we're absolutely convinced that these confessions of faith are a pure explanation of God's word. And so we Lutherans agree with St. Peter. When they came to him and told him to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, he said, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Lutherans have a high view of Scripture because it's the only reliable way we can really know Jesus. The disciples walked with the Lord. He taught them. He led them. And we trust that the Holy Spirit allowed them to get it right about Jesus, what they wrote down about him. And the Bible always presents Jesus first and foremost as our Savior. It teaches us that we have all rebelled against God, each one of us, and that we were born sinful. We were born with this rebellion in us. Each of us, therefore, is condemned and awaiting destruction. But because of God's grace, that undeserved kindness toward us that he offers, he has provided a way to spare us in the coming destruction. God came here himself and was condemned in our place. And this, my friends, is the kindest and the most gracious act the world will ever see, when God came down in Jesus Christ and accomplished this for us. Lutherans believe that a person is saved from hell not because they did a certain amount of good while they were here in the world. They were a good person, or they had an open mind towards God, or because they suffered much. But because that God was gracious enough to suffer hell in their place. That's what Martin Luther discovered for himself and dedicated his life to preaching and teaching at great risk. And there were many with him, too. Luther just became the most famous, but there were many people, many, many, who worked with him to preach and teach this truth. Now, in those early days of Lutheranism, faithful men and women sacrificed all they had at great cost, sometimes their very lives, to defend and to share this truth with their friends and their communities. For example, during the 30 Years' War, the enemy attacked the Lutheran regions of Germany in the attempt to stamp out the Lutheran Reformation. And the battles forced tens of thousands of people to leave their homes, sometimes never come back. Disease and famine deepened that misery, similar to what we see going on in regions of Africa today. And finally, it wasn't a German, but it was the King of Sweden, Gustavus Adolphus, who led his army to defend the Protestants. And he succeeded in driving back the enemy, but at the cost of his own life. He died there, out on the battlefield. The courage of those early Lutherans really inspires us. Because today the attitude everywhere is just go along to get along, you know? Well, this or that you don't like, well, just kind of put up with it. If it's wrong, it won't have any effect on you. There were plenty of people saying this back then, in those days. You know, why hold on to the truth? We're all going to die. It's better for us to go along with the Pope and buy his indulgences and go to his masses than all of us to perish. What's wrong, anyway, with a little good works thrown in there? Aren't we supposed to do good? But thank God that this idea was rejected. Lutherans are courageous in the face of adversity because they trust God's word as truth. We Lutherans continue on in the teaching that we have received because we know God's word is true in every age and every situation, and it gives us courage to face our challenges that come each day to us. And that leads to our final thought for today. Lutherans always look to Jesus. The Bible's not a rule book that we must follow so we can give glory to God. It is the way of salvation. In it, God tells us what is right and wrong, but it is held up as a mirror to us so that we can see how sinful we are on the inside. Because God's standards are much too high for us to follow on our own. Do you know what the standards that Jesus laid out for us are? Perfection. He said, "Be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect." So Lutherans see Jesus not as just a rule giver, but as a Savior, someone who kept God's expectations perfectly in his own life, and then he offered that for us. When we have faith to believe that he did this for us personally, it is applied to us, and we are freed from our sins, and we are free to follow God, free to live lives that are pleasing to God. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says. And that's why the Lutheran wants to hear preaching on what Jesus did on the cross, wants to hear it again and again and again. Oh yes, we Lutherans have our traditions, don't we? Those great hymns of the church, the liturgical songs of the Bible, our common prayers, our catechism, and other things. These things are intended to demonstrate our unity, to unite us together. Now lately, these things have been looked down upon as things that hold us back from reaching more people. And more American Lutherans are discarding them. But I see the value in these things is that they take the emphasis off us and they put it where it belongs, on Jesus Christ and his work for us. What God has been doing to reach people with that message throughout history. In fact, Lutherans embrace these traditions because they call greater reverence toward God. The Lutheran confessions state, "Masses are celebrated among us every Lord's Day and on the other festivals. The sacrament is offered to those who wish to use it," that is the Lord's Supper, "after they've been instructed, examined, and absolved. And the usual public ceremonies are observed, the series of lessons, of prayers, of vestments," these things the pastors wear and dress the altar with, "and other such things." And they also state, "We celebrate the Mass with more reverence than our opponents." Back then they still called it the Mass, what we call the divine service. I think this is a great help to us because, folks, there is still so much false teaching out there, more and more. Cults brainwash our children. False teachers lay great burdens of good works on the backs of their hearers. And the most popular churches don't seem to be concerned with necessarily what their people believe, as long as they come to church, are active in the programs, and give money. And then there's the other side, those false teachers who turn morality upside down, declaring what God calls immorality to be, quote, "the way God made you," end quote. In the midst of this fog all around us, the Lutheran stands like a lighthouse, shining on the scene of the cross and calling, "There's your Savior. Keep your eyes on him and everything he said as it is recorded in his word." So today we remember that scene of Luther standing before the emperor in his court at the city of Worms, risking it all, rather than taking back one word of what he'd said and written. We might see ourselves in him just a little bit, trusting in Jesus no matter what the cost, ready to sacrifice everything rather than fall one inch away from the truth. That's the task for you Lutherans today. To be Christians who keep reminding the rest of Christianity that we are saved by God's grace, not because we deserve it. And we receive this faith. We receive it by faith in Jesus Christ alone, not by our good works or anything that we can add to it. And finally, we know this to be true because it says so in Scripture alone. This is the truth. And as Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God be with you. God strengthen you, bless you in his word, and in the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen.